to be able to preach tonight, and I thank Pastor that he is allowing me to have Wednesday night as well, because I thought about the message that I would preach on family. I was going to do it tonight because I just want to share what God has laid on my heart about that. So I hope you'll be back Wednesday night. I'm sure it'll be a blessing, and I'm excited about it. What I'm excited about tonight as well is we're going to take our Bibles and let's stand. We're going to turn back over to the book of Philippians, and we're going to talk about it. I hate that Miss Jerry's not here, so maybe she can listen to it, because she always said that she just enjoyed the things that we've talked about from the book of Philippians. And I tell you, it's just amazing how God speaks to your heart about things that we find in the Word of God. And Pastor, I'm sure Brother Neil would say the same, that as much as you read and study, you can't say it all. So you got to narrow it down to where it would be concise, but complete, convicting, and all of those things when we think about the Word of God. We're going to turn over to Philippians chapter number 3, and we're going to pick up reading in verses 7 through 10. And we want to cover an area tonight that I believe that Paul is writing again to encourage us in what we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a tremendous thing when you think about that. And we're going to endeavor to share some things tonight I believe that would be an encouragement to us. So we're going to start in verse number 7 as we have gone from chapter 1 to this point tonight. And we want to continue till we get to the end of this book. But it says, but what things were gained to me, those things count. Those things I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency, for the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Aren't you glad tonight that you don't have to have your own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And God, I thank you for the privilege to stand before your people to speak. Thus saith the Lord, I pray that you would empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit, that I might speak the things that you have all us to hear tonight, that we might leave here tonight and again and say that it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We love you and praise you, and thank you for the privilege that we have. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being everything that we need to make this life sweet and complete. And may we learn from the Apostle Paul tonight some other things that would be a blessing to us as we endeavor into, or we dove into the Word of God. We love you and praise you and ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you on the subject of thinking about when you got saved. I want to ask you, when you got saved, what did God save you from? Think about where you were, or think about what you were involved in before you got saved. I know every one of us could go back and think about the things that we used to be involved in. And when we get saved, it does something in every Christian's life, because I believe what Paul is writing about in this section is when Paul got saved, God saved him, and Paul had a different perspective on life. And every one of us, if we think about if we've been saved and we know Christ is our Savior, our perceptions change. Amen. And if they didn't change, there's something wrong with your changer or your perception of what God is and who he is, what he's done in your life. And that's what he did for the Apostle Paul. I think back tonight and I remember, and most of y'all, if we think about the things we used to do, it tells you what your age is. Amen. I remember the platform heels, the dashiki, the big afros. Amen. Miss White and I had one, and we couldn't almost get in the same picture because mine was bigger than hers, amen? And I had to move her over a little bit so I could get mine in the picture, you know, because hers was smaller, amen? No, just kidding. But anyhow, that's what we did, and that's what we wore. And so when we think about back to what you used to be like and what you used to do, you think about where you were before you got saved. And when you get saved, your perspective ought to change about the things that you value and the things that you don't value anymore. When I got saved, I remember I used to work at the Newport News shipyard, and I used to love listening to music. I remember my brother, when he went into the Army, he had a stereo system that it had the speakers, preacher. You could probably hear them blasting 2 miles away, and I used to play them at the top of that, amen, so I could hear it. Amen?
Amen.
And I remember one time we lived about a mile and a half from the trailer that I lived in up to right under the main street of the town that I lived in. I could play that music. And I remember going to that little grocery store, that little convenience store, and I could still hear my music playing at home. That's how loud it was. And I remember when I worked at a shipyard, and every Friday I would go down to the record store, and the preacher, they just had one in there I had never seen. I'd buy it anyway. I mean, had no idea what was on that album, but I wanted to have it. So anybody wanted to know, you got the most new music? Yes, I got it. Who is it? I don't know, but I'm playing it. Amen. But that's what I did. And that's what I value. But when I got saved, I tell you what happened. One time I went home, and my grandmother, when I first came into the Air Force, me and Teresa go back home, and my grandma had set half of the records that I had out in the woods. That's what she did with them. And I'm like, Grandma, what in the world did you do with my record? Well, boy, I didn't think you wanted them anymore. I said, I was coming back to get them. Then I went to Germany. I still had a lot of records. And when we got there, I had a record collection you would not believe. But when I got saved in Spain, I had to sit those records on the corner of the street. And I know some of them Spanish people got that music. They ain't no problem what in the world they would listen to, because it was all in English, amen. They stole our cassette players that we had in our car. They broke into the car and stole our music, and it was all worldly music. And I'm telling you, they probably didn't know what they listened to, but they stole the music that we had. But those things were valuable to me at that time. But when I got saved, they became invaluable. And when we get saved, the things that we used to say, the things that we used to do, and the places that we used to go, we all not have a desire to do those things. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He says those things that used to be valuable to him, they're not valuable anymore. So I want us to think about his perspective of the believer tonight as Paul is writing to us. When a person becomes saved, his perspectives in life ought to change. And the way that you view life and the way that you view things ought to be through the Word of God and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you ought to have a greater desire to know Him and what it is that God wants you to do and how He wants you to live. Right. And He tells us this. I don't know. And I think about 2 Corinthians. You know, let me say this. When you think about the Apostle Paul, he wrote pretty much most of the New Testament. And everything that Paul can share in life, from every book that he wrote in the New Testament, he had a perspective about who Jesus Christ was, and he wrote to churches over and over and over throughout the New Testament, telling them about the problems and the issues, the things that they were going to face, the things that they needed to do, and the things that they need to be encouraged in. And we can go all through the New Testament and find scripture after scriptures that the Apostle Paul reflects back on as he's writing and preaching and teaching to these churches. I want you to think about, first of all, when we think about our perspective, notice what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are to become new. In other words, the things that I used to do, the things that I used to say, those things ought to pass away, and all things ought to become new to me, because God wants to change my perspective as to how I view life, how I believe, how I behave. God wants to change that. And if you're new in Christ, it ought to be your desire, because you are a new creation in Him. God created you now, and His Spirit indwells you, and you ought to have a different kind of desire. And that's what Paul is saying about. We won't go back through and talk about every one of these chapters as we usually do in the respect of time that we have here for tonight, of each chapter and the things that we talked about. But I believe Paul here, first of all, I want you to notice about four things or a couple of things here that Paul is writing about that he's going to share with us about the things that he devalued. In other words, these things that he's telling us that became a devalue to him, they weren't valuable anymore. And he's going to give us some things that he used to look back at and how he's devalues those things. But he also going to tell us the things that he values now because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So y'all with me? Right. Amen. So you just think about, first of all, I wanted you to notice here the completeness of the things that Paul is talking about. Look at verse number 7, because I believe one thing that every one of us need to come and get a hold of. This fan is just blowing my Bible open. I believe one thing that the Bible wants us to know. You know what? There ought not to be one thing in your life that you're not willing to give up if God asks you to give that thing up.
That's right.
I don't know, but one thing and one person that I value the most in this world is my wife. And I don't believe God is ready to take her from me, but that is one of the greatest values that I believe that God has given me. But there's some other things in my life that ought not have, that ought to devalue, and they ought not have the precedence in my life. When he says these things, he's saying in verse number 7, let's look at it. He says, but what things were gained to me, those things I count loss. The things that Paul is talking about now, he doesn't value them anymore. In other words, the things that he's talking about that were formerly high in value to him, he don't value them anymore. So what things? He says all things. Amen. Not just some things, but all things. Look at verse number 8. He says, yet doubtless I count what? All things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying he doesn't have any regrets as to what those things are that he's willing to give up. That's not what he's saying. But what Paul is saying, when you think back to these previous verses before all of that, you know, when I tell y'all when I got saved, the things that Paul talked about reminds me of when I was growing up. If you grew up in a typical black church, one of the things that you had rituals that you believe and you follow. Paul didn't believe that. Look at verse number five. He says, circumcise the 8th day, amen, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. He says, but these things what things were gained to me, those things I count lost for Christ. In other words, rituals didn't do anything for him. The relationships that he had that was out of the stock of Benjamin didn't mean anything. The respectability that he had because he was of the tribe of Benjamin, the race that he was in because he was a Hebrew, didn't have any value to him. In other words, Paul is just spelling out to us the things that did not have any value to him. One of the things I say tonight as well, he says, touching the law, a Pharisee. In other words, religion didn't do anything for him. His reputation concerning persecuting the churches, they didn't have anything for him. And the righteousness that he had in keeping the law certainly didn't do anything for the Apostle Paul. In other words, it was all about the relationship that he had now with the Lord Jesus Christ. So those things weren't continue to be valuable to the Apostle Paul. And I tell you right now, I think about when I got saved. I'm so glad that I got saved out of traditional Baptist church. Amen. Where they're hooping and hollering, and when the preacher got to a certain point in the message, all the ladies would fall out, everything fly up, they would fall out, and we as kids looking at them like, whoa, look at Miss Sally, oh Lord, they got to throw a towel over or a blanket, you know, because that's what they did. Y'all don't know nothing about that, do you? But anyway, that was, he says, completeness and other things, everything and all of those things that were valuable to him, they're not valuable anymore. Amen. And religion was one of those things. So all things which Paul had gained before his salvation were devalued now in his esteem that he's talking about. All things mean he had a household or wholesale change in his life and his perspective because he got saved. Amen. I don't know if we can turn this fan up because it's just blowing my Bible up over there. He says here, but I notice here that first of all, to complete everything that he talked about in his previous chapter, when you think about his relationship, in other words, he devalued those things. And not only do we talk about devaluing and completeness, but he's also to give us a comparison in these things that he was counting that were lost to him. And notice what he says here in verse number eight. Again, he says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do not count them but done that I might win Christ. In other words, Paul had an excellency. In other words, he wanted to excel, to has the idea to be supreme or to be better than to know Christ. Knowing about Christ was much more valuable to him than anything that he had gained before his conversion. And I think about it tonight. If you're saved here tonight, aren't you glad that you're saved?
Amen.
I think a lot of times we as Christians, we take it for granted. We get hum-ho about what we really have. If you really think about what you have in Jesus Christ.
Right.
I hope you don't ever get over the excitement of what you have in Jesus Christ. And he compared it to these things here that he's given this comparison. He says, I count all of these things for the excellency. In other words, I want to excel in my knowledge of Jesus Christ. And nothing in the world would really, that you could really compare to what it means to know Christ as your Savior. Nothing in the world could compare to that. What in the world you think about the day that you could compare, that you used to do, that would compare to what you have in Jesus Christ? I wouldn't want to go back to none of it and for nothing in the world. For nothing in the world. There's nothing in this world that we could compare to what we have in Jesus Christ. Right. You got a home in heaven. You got a God that loves you. The Word of God gives us so many promises that we have. And we don't have them because we doubt what God wants to do in us, because we don't know what the Word of God says. And we have so many promises and nothing. And you know what? In light of all of that, when you think about what you have in Christ, if you focus on eternity and what you have when you get to heaven, why would you let these things hold you back?
That's right.
Just think about that for just a moment. The Bible tells us we can walk on streets of gold. I don't know. You know, we watched a Little League baseball game, and I don't know if it's going to be a hill there that you need even a little cardboard, or you could just slide down on the naked behind. But I believe you could slide down the streets of gold, and there'd be so much gold you could look through the impurity and never even see the bottom of it. That's what he's saying us that heaven is going to be like. Aren't you glad? And we're going to praise him forever. You know, it's hard for us to praise God even in this life, but the Bible tells us we're going to praise him every day, every word, everything that comes out of our mouth is going to be praises to the God of heaven that died, sent his son to die for us.
That's right.
Boy, what a blessing. Paul said you can't even compare it to the things that you have. And a lot of times we as Christians, we want to hold on to that old life and the old things that we used to do.
Right.
We ought not have a desire to want to do those things. I don't want to listen to that old music. I might want to get the afro out again. Amen. Pick it out and grow. It might have some gray in it. You know, it might have some spots in it now that won't even come out. But they used to think that me and my brother, they used to think we could give the Jackson 5s, we could give them a run for their afros. Amen. I'm telling you. I remember, I'm going to tell something on Miss White. I remember when Miss White, she won't say it did, but I remember one day she said she saw me and we was at high school. Well, I was in high school. She was still in middle school, and she saw me at football practice and needed to go to the gym, and I'd sit in there, and she said when she saw me, I had this Superfly jacket. The thing went down to down here.
Amen.
Had the fur collar, amen. Had an afro picked out, and when she saw me, she just melted. She gonna beat me up when I get home. Amen. She said, look at him. She done put her head down. But I thought I was all that in two bags of chips. Amen. I'm just telling you. No, she didn't do that. But she did. She said, I remember you wore that jacket. Well, you thought you were. Yeah. She said, I saw you from that bus. And I tell you, I'm glad she saw me. Amen. And when I saw her, let me tell you, when I saw her, I saw Miss White. Well, y'all have to remember, Teresa and I, we go back way back. And when she came into high school, I seen her over the summer because we worked on the farm together. And we, you know, my dad used to, how did I get on this anyway? I don't even know. But I'm going to tell it anyway. Amen. So we would work on the farm. But this particular year when she came into high school, Brother Littrell, when I saw her, she had on this rust color. I had a jacket like that, but mine was down to the ankle, man. It was a Superfly. Anyhow, she had on kind of like a rust color. You remember that rust color one you had, honey, with the fur around the top of it around here, and it went up down the collar and came up on the top of her collar. And when I saw her walk across that cafeteria, I was like, "Whoa, is that Teresa?" And boy, I tell you, that's the only thing I'll probably go back to. Amen. But I saw her, and I tell you what, I don't know how we got on that. Amen. So she's gonna shoot me when I get home. But anyhow, nothing compares to what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I love her, but I think back to those things. But you know what? There's a whole lot of things that I think back in those days that I wouldn't want to do anymore. because I think about what I have in Christ. And Paul says there's no comparison. But you know what? There is a cost. Not only do we see the completeness of it, we should be all things, but he gives us a comparison of these things that we should devalue, but the cost. You know, the cost. There is a cost to pay when you values change as a result of your salvation. Amen. And those things ought to change. You will lose the things that you no longer value, but you would gain the things now that you value.
Right.
Amen. And one of the things that you value, as the Apostle Paul did when you think about it, I hope you value your salvation, but I hope you value your testimony.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ wants to use us so that we have a testimony, amen, for the world. And the cost of it, sometimes you may have to give up some things that will be good for you to do, but they may not be good for you to do. Did y'all get that? I don't ask me to say it again, amen. But anyway, there might be some things that are good for you to do, but they might not be good for you to do, amen, because you want to have a testimony, amen. So the cost here, Paul is speaking of his losses, but he is not saying that he's upset with what he had to give up. He's not upset about it. And a lot of times as Christians, we want to hold on to those old things. And I want you to think about this tonight. And Paul gives... Not only he gives us a completeness, but he gives us a comparison, but he tells about the cost here in these verses, but he also characterizes it. Notice what he says here in verse number 8 again. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done that I might win Christ. Now, y'all think about that word done. Anybody have any idea of what that word is talking about, really? I grew up in the country. Brother Neil shaking his head. He knew exactly what it's talking about. You know what it's talking about there? Y'all probably never had to clean out the hog stable or the horse stable. Amen? Huh? Thank God, but I did. He's talking about manure. In other words, you think about how many of y'all would want that? Nobody would want that. Probably most of y'all never would want to clean that.
Amen.
But I had to do that. And you get that manure out of there. And you know what you do? You put it in what they used to call it's like a spreader. We used to put it in that spreader and fill it up. And you go out to the fields and you would go out there and the spreader would just spray that manure all over the field. But you would put it out there because it would help whatever you're trying to grow. It was like fertilizer that would cause that product to grow. And Paul said, I count it but done. Yes, Gary.
My brother and I, he got kicked by a mule one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last time he did that.
Yep, but they would kick you because you messing with their manure. I mean, no, but I hope not. But that's what he's talking about. And we used to spread that stuff out in the field so it would help fertilize the fields for the product that you were trying to grow. And Paul says, I counted but done. That's how worthless what he had that he valued, and the characteristic of what he's talking about, or the character of what he's talking about, he compares it to dung. In other words, it was manure that he was talking about when he says this, and it's like that which Paul compares to what he used to have. In other words, Paul was so devalued those things he lost that he considered them to be done on what he was talking about here. He put all of those things of the world, which meant nothing to him compared to Christ, in the category of manure.
Amen.
And that's what it was like for him. So we ought to devalue those things. Amen. But I think about, we look at those things that he devalued, but I think what we need to see tonight here for the next few minutes is what he valued. What he valued. Look at verse number 9. He says, be found in him. In other words, he's talking about Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, Paul gives us a list of few things that were important to him now because of his perspective on life and what God has given him. One of the first things that he talked about that we can never get over, and I hope you never get over, he says here, is his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Paul valued that more than anything in the world, and every book that he wrote about, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation was, Paul viewed salvation was the most important thing in his life, but it was the most important thing that he shared with everybody that he came in contact with.
That's right.
because he wanted them to know about his testimony. He wanted them to know about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that ought to be our desire, because our salvation is the most thing, important thing that we have. But you know, we can talk about everything under the sun, but that's probably not the most things that you talk to other people about. But it ought to be.
That's right.
Paul was in chains in prison. He still was talking about the gospel, because the gospel was important to him. And the church that he's writing to at Philippi, he wants them to know that that ought to be the most important thing to you. And he valued his salvation. I don't know about you, but I value mine. And I tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, because there's nothing. Paul valued his salvation in Jesus Christ above all things that he had lost because of his salvation. And many people today and wise men think, as Paul, he had everything. And when you think about all those things that he had in comparison to what he's talking about in these previous verses, that he counted done. And when the world looked at Paul, they said, you got it all. I mean, you had the right background. You had the right upbringing. You had all of these things that were prevalent in their days. And when people looked at him, they would think that that's the greatest thing that he could have. But Paul, when he thought about what he had, he thought about his salvation. Right. He said, be found in his righteousness, not his own, and keeping the righteousness which was of the law. And I believe when we go back to Romans, or we go back to Acts, and we see all of the things that Paul talked about, when he had that experience with Jesus Christ, it changed his life. Because you think about all the zeal that Paul had about killing Christians when he was growing up. Now he was channeling that energy that he was seeking after those who believed in Christ. And now he's challenging that energy after those that did not know Christ. He wanted them to know Christ because he valued his salvation. And they need that. You know, y'all hear me say many a times, you know what? It ain't going to be who's in the White House that's going to change this world. It's what's in the church house that's going to change this world. God has chosen you and I to be the vessel in which he wants to work through to win this world to Jesus Christ. He could have chosen many other things, but he ain't choosing the presidents or even the prime ministers that are in other countries. God has chosen you and I. And our salvation ought to be valued in such a way, when our conversation ends, it ought to come right back to what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So Paul valued that. But I want you to notice, second of all, he not only talked about the salvation in Christ, but he's talking about the schooling about Christ. Amen? You say schooling. Oh, yeah. Because it is important for us to know what we believe. In the world in which we live in, schooling is one of the most important things. And young people, I'm not saying that it's not important for you to learn the things of the secular world or to have knowledge of a job or skills or ability to learn things. But, you know, one of the greatest teachers that we ought to have, and I know that because most of y'all, if not all, are somewhat a homeschool. But you know what the base of what the homeschooling that you're getting is? What? It's from the Word of God, because that's the most valuable education that you could ever have. I remember when I got saved, and I didn't get through it, preacher, until I got to Bethel Baptist Church when I got discipled. I'd never been discipled, man. I had been saved for a little while, but when we got here back to the States, and we got saved in Spain, we lived in Spain for 5 years. We got saved in Spain. We went to Germany, and we lived in Germany almost 10 years before we ever came back here to the States. And that's when I got discipled. And one of the verses that will always be true to my heart that I want to live out, it is 2 Peter 3:18. But it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of what? Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. In other words, Peter is writing that we ought to want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That ought to be the desire of every Christian. And the schooling that we get from the Word of God is nothing that could ever replace it. I'm telling you that it's going to be the source of your life and how you're going to live and how you ought to know how to live and obtain it from the knowledge of this book. Amen. And Paul says our world puts great emphasis on knowledge. And so we may know many things in life, but knowledge is so valuable as the knowledge of Christ. There's nothing about it. I think I left. Did I leave my book back there, honey? Is there a red book back there? I was intending to bring it in. There was a book that I've been reading that Dr. Chappell wrote, and it had a quote in there by Myers. I might read it Wednesday night so y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. And I wanted to read it, and it talked about the knowledge that we ought to have of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gives so many things that when you think about what Christ is and what he means to you, and yet the world does not consider that the knowledge of the knowledge as a thing of worth when you think about the word of God or the things of God. The world doesn't consider that the most important thing that you ought to learn, but it is the most important thing. Because it's going to make you make the right decisions that you need to make in your Christian life. It will put greater value on even the secular things that apply that you got to apply and learn and be involved in, because you'll see things in a different perspective. And it's going to help you in your Christian life. It's going to help you to grow. And you can never place a value on that. And think about it here. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. I like about what Paul is writing to Timothy. And you could turn through the book of Timothy. Let's turn over there. The 2 Timothy, and this wife is going to go out there. But I know, I believe I put it in the car, and we're going to read that when she comes back with it. We're going to move along here. But notice what it says when we think about the knowledge and growing in our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it here. To grow here in 2 Timothy and verse number 1, notice what Paul says. He says, study to do what? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. But what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, he tells us about the importance of growing in the scriptures. And if we study it, he says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. In other words, I believe Brother Neil can probably relate to it. When you think about going on a job to work in any secular world, any job that you have, you know what you got to take is the right tools.
Right.
You're going to be a carpenter, you got to have the right tools. Amen, Brother Gary. If you're going to be a welder, you got to have the right tools. Brother Lee Trail, he's going to be a horticultural person. He got to have the right tools, amen, to go out and do that. And if you're going to live for Christ, you got to have the right tools, amen. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to be able to do that. I want to share a quote with you about here that he wrote in his book, and this is from the book of Philippians. He wrote it, and F.B. Myers wrote this. He says, to know Christ, this is the way we want to know, not just have a head knowledge of him, I believe we want to have a heart knowledge of him. He says, to know Christ in the storms of the battles. Don't you need to know him in that? Because we're going to go through that. To know him in the valley of the shadow. When things seem like they're dark clouds over what is happening in your life, you need the light of God to come in and shed in your life to show you that it's not all that bad sometimes. Right. And he goes on to say, to know him when the solar lights that go out in our faces. In other words, the radiation of light goes out sometimes. Or when there are darkness with disappointments and sorrows. Because we're going to have those things in life. And we want to know him. Because he's the one that's going to help us through. He says, I would never leave thee nor what forsake thee. God says he'd never do that for us. I'm reading this. I should go in and read it. Amen. But it knows what else it says. He says, to know the sweetness of his dealings with bruised reeds and smoking flecks. To know the tenderness of his sympathy and strength of his right hand. All this involves many varieties of experiences on our part, but of each of them, like the facet of a diamond, will reflect the parameters of beauty of his glory from a new angle. Because we have a different view of God when we know him. I may not always understand what God is doing in my life, but I know that I can trust him.
Amen.
And when you learn how to trust him in a deeper a way that Paul is talking about how he knew Christ, it adds a whole different light to your life. And I believe this is what he's talking about. And yet the world does not consider knowing Christ in that way. You know, God is not going to come to you if you're not willing to be God come to.
Amen.
That probably ain't good English either, right? But I remember Pastor Cummings said, you are as close to God as you want to be.
That's right.
If you don't draw, he said, if you draw nigh to me, I'm going to do what? I'm going to draw nigh to you. If you don't have a desire to be close to God, he's not going to have a desire to be close to you. You know, God never changes. His position never changed. But we change our position because we allow the wrong things to come in to separate us in our relationship with God.
Right.
Think about that for a minute. Like the cow, chew on it for just a little bit. Then regurgitate it. Amen. That's that country talking, folks. Amen. So we see we talked about salvation and the schooling of how he wants to know Christ. But notice also the strength of Christ that Paul is talking about, the power of his resurrection that we find in verse number 10. Let me see if I can get back over there. I lost my place. He says in verse number 10, he says, and verse number 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know what? One of the greatest powers, we're not talking about physical strength, but we're talking about the power that rests upon the life of a person that knows Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I don't know about you, but it had to be some power that would raise us from the dead. And the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is spiritual power that every one of us as Christians need. The spiritual power that Paul is talking about. Turn with me over to Romans chapter number 6. And we read this when the last baptism we had when Brother Littrell got baptized and his wife. We read these scriptures and we read them all the time. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 6 in verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, what? Into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also in the likeness of his what? His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not, what? Serve sin. Because we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That same power that raised him up from the dead, you and I have that power within us. We have the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the power to live the Christian life, to strengthen us. Think about Acts 1:8. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And think about it here tonight. I believe that every Christian here has the power of God. If you're saved, that you ought to value this power. It's the most valuable power that you could ever have. This world cannot even contain the power that you have within you by the Holy Spirit of God living in you. Think about what it allows us to do, to live a godly life. He says, again, we go back to 2 Peter 2 in verse 15, because Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to study the word of God, because when we study it, it's going to help us to live the Christian life, because we'll learn and know exactly what God would have us to do when it comes to the Christian life. Not only is it going to help us to live the Christian life, but it's going to give us the power to defeat them temptation, because we're going to face temptation. Amen. And think about it. Psalms 119 in verse 11, it says this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. God's word I need to hide in my heart because it's going to help me and keep me from sinning against God. I can't help but read this when I think about how it's helped us to live the Christian life. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and a joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, because that's what the word of God will do in your life. Right. It is so important because of the power of the word of God. So God wants to help us to live the Christian life and how we need to live the Christian life. And Paul says in verse 10, and not only do we see he says this, he says for, but turn back over and read verse number 10. He says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. In other words, Paul said suffering is something that every Christian is going to go through. But Paul had a desire to be like Jesus Christ. When we think about the suffering that Paul is talking about, let's turn back over to chapter number 2, because he's talking about the suffering that Jesus Christ went through on our behalf. Not just this suffering that we think sometimes when we ain't got something, we're suffering for Jesus. Amen. But notice what he says in Philippians chapter 2 in verse number 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ was willing to suffer for you and I, even the death of the cross. And the Bible says, for he did it for the joy that was set before him. He was willing to go to the cross and die for you and I because he was going to rejoice because one day those of us who he died for is going to be in heaven one day with him. Glory, hallelujah. When you think about what we have. So his suffering and the fellowship of his suffering, Paul said, I just want to get in on this stuff, amen? When you understand what he went through, and Paul went through some suffering, but it did not keep him from praising God. We think about when he was in the jail, Paul and Silas were singing. Even in jail, he was singing and praising God. You think about in Acts chapter 9, in verse 15 and 16, the Bible tells him when he told Ananias to go lay hands on him, he said, because he's a chosen vessel, and there's many things that he's going to suffer because I'm going to do these things to him. He's going to be a witness to the Gentiles and kings, and he was going to do all of that because he was going to suffer. And I tell you what, if God told us today, and he has told us, that those that love him are going to suffer persecution, it ought not take us by surprise that we're going to suffer and go through some things in our life.
Right.
And sometimes we think, why me? But why not me? He did it for you. And we're going to rejoice because one day all of this suffering, it's going to all be over. Aren't you looking forward to that? That knee that pops out sometimes. Amen. That back that got the cranks in it, you can't get it out.
Amen.
Amen. The all of those old football injuries that we thought we could play on, amen, amen. All those basketball moves, pastor say he thought he could use to do. That Keeley's gonna ain't he gonna worry about it. He gonna jump and dunk with Michael Jordan. In other words, when we get to heaven, I'm gonna be over there. Come on up here, preach. I'm gonna just hang around till you get here. Y'all ain't caught on to that, amen. You remember when I told y'all I used to go to the gym in the morning and work out, and one of the guys in there in the, that worked at the reception is, I told him, I'm going to go ahead and work out, bro. I said, but when I come back out to go out and take my shower, I'm going to go check the weather just before I come out and go out, and I'll let you know what the weather going to be like today. Y'all catch it out the wild, amen. That's what I did. I used to do that, amen. I still can, but I don't get quite as high as long when I get up there, amen. My wife said, yeah, right, uh-huh. So we know this, he's experiencing the suffering has much of the to do with our eternal glory. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12 says this, if ye suffer, in other words, for him, we shall also reign with him.
Right.
You know what's that? Think about that. If we suffer with him, we're going to also reign with him. We're going to be in heaven one day with him. Amen. And those things that we think were so bad, you know what? It'll only be for a moment. Life is but a vapor. It's appear for a little while, and then it's gone. And our failure to have eternity in mind will affect your values in a bad way and bring great loss to you if you don't look at it from an eternal standpoint. Suffering for righteousness of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. And last but not least, I believe one of the greatest things that the Apostle Paul looked for, and he's telling us as Christians tonight, submission. Submission to Christ. Being conformable unto his death. I believe earlier in Philippians, as we've already read, we saw how Jesus Christ was obedient unto death. In other words, he submitted to God's will for you and I. He stepped out of the confounds of heaven, took upon him the form of a servant. He came and being obedient unto God because he was submitting to his Father's will that he would come and die for you and I. And I believe one of the most tragic things that happened in our society today, and even some Christians today, we don't be submissive to anybody. And that's what's wrong with our world today. Nobody wants to submit to authority.
That's right.
But we got to be willing to submit to the authority of God. Because if you're his child, you ought to be willing to submit to him and what he would have for you. And not do it, as we say sometimes, not grudgingly, but you ought to be submissively. In other words, I want to surrender my life to God. I want to do what I believe that God would have me to do. And sometimes, you know what? He bends us, but he don't break us. And sometimes God got to bring some things into our life to get us to where he wants us to be. And it more easier or be receptive to us if we would learn how to submit to what God is doing in our life. Submission is the most important thing. And that's what chapter 2 was talking about. And when Paul wrote that he was submissive even unto death, Christ was willing to do that. What about you tonight? What do you value? There are some things that you ought to devalue, if we can say, and there ought to be some things that you value. And those things ought to have changed because our perception of who we are and what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ should have changed when you got saved. How many of y'all go back and think about when you got saved? You know, one of the first things you wanted to do was tell somebody else about what happened to you. Because again, what? Your perception changed. I wanted to see my family get saved. I wanted to see my dad get saved. I wanted to see my brother get saved. My sister is still hope. Amen. But I can't say, I don't know her heart. But I can tell you this. My brother saved because I shared the gospel with him. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ saved my brother. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ saved my father. And y'all heard me tell this before. I called my dad up one night, one morning, he was going into surgery. And I said, Dad, before you go into the surgery, I just want to ask you one question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that if you didn't get up from that operating table, that you would be in heaven? I said, because nothing's promised. You could never wake up.
That's right.
He said, boy, and when they call, y'all hear me always say that, when they call you boy, they serious. He said, boy, I don't know that. I said, but Dad, wouldn't you like to know? Because I value the eternal life that Jesus Christ wants you to have.
Amen.
Because of what I have. And I prayed, I shared the gospel with my dad over the phone, and my dad received Jesus Christ as his Savior. I was driving down the road. My brother picked me up. I was going to visit with him and driving from, and I'm going to be done here, driving from Charlotte, where he picked me up from the airport, and I went to Fayetteville to be with him. We're driving down the road, and he driving, and I'm praying. I close my eyes, and I'm driving because he wasn't driving. I'm driving. No, that was my friend, Bud Howard, another friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine. I'm driving down the road, and I'm sharing the gospel with him as we're driving down the road. He picked me up. And I'm praying, and I said, well, I'm going to close my eyes. Don't you close your eyes. I'm not going to close my eyes, but you close your eyes. I'm going to pray as I drive. And Bud received Christ as his Savior, a friend of mine. Because when I looked at them, my values had changed. And I pray to God the values will continue to not change. Because I value the salvation that I have, and I value it in such a way I want those around me to know who Christ is. And Paul is explaining to that. Our perception of what this world needs ought to change.
That's right.
Because of what we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Okay, I only been 32 minutes. No, just kidding. Amen? Devalue, value. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. And God, how we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the truth that the Apostle Paul wanted to share with the church at Philippi. And tonight that he would share these same truth and they would radiate in our hearts and in our lives, realize what we ought to value now in our lives and what we ought to devalue, because those things ought not have the importance that they used to have in our lives as Christians. Lord, help us to live a life that would be pleasing to you. That these truths and things that we heard tonight would not fall on deaf ears, but they would penetrate the heart of hearts, because we need to, or we ask you to change our perspectives, that we might live like we are Christians, and we ought to value the salvation that we have, the schooling that we have, and all of those things that would be pleasing to you, that you want us to have, even the suffering in Christ. And may we be submissive to Christ. Lord, help us. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. And we're going to ask our pastor to come and close tonight as he sees fit for the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Head bowed and eyes are still closed.
Amen.